All right, thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible this evening to Acts chapter 21, 22, and 23. And somewhere in there we'll find the message. Acts chapter 21, 22, and 23. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to preach kind of an unusual message tonight. My heart's been burdened about some things that I've heard, and I was wondering, okay, well, how will it fit in? And as I was reading and studying here in Acts, I thought, well, there's a marvelous example of the problem. So we'll look at it, all right? In Acts chapter 21 first, we'll start there. Then we'll go to chapter 22 and read some. Then we'll go to chapter 23 and read some. And then I'll preach a little bit and we'll go home, all right? After we take another offering. Don't forget that, all right? So Acts chapter 21, all right? Acts chapter 21, drop down to verse 27, if you would. The Bible says, "And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, that him is Paul, stirred up all the people and laid hands on him, crying out, 'Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teacheth all men everywhere against the people and the law and this place. And further brought Greeks also into the temple, and hath polluted this holy place. For they had seen before with him in the city of Trophimus an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, and forthwith the doors were shut. And as they went about to kill him, tidings came unto the chief captain of the band that all Jerusalem was in an uproar, who immediately took soldiers and centurions and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captains and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. Then the chief captain came near and took him and commanded him to be bound with two chains and demanded who he was and what he had done. And some cried one thing, some another, among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for the tumult, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. And when he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne of the soldiers for the violence of the people." Now let's go over into chapter 22 and look at verse 22. And the Bible says here, "And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live.' And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him." Now into chapter 23, verse 12. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.'" By the way, the Bible doesn't tell us, but they all starved to death. "Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him." Man, what a wonderful time to be Paul. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of hatred. Hatred. There was definitely a hatred for Paul. Man, we read through these chapters, and by the way, it's not the only place in the book of Acts. This was true way back there in Acts. He was in Damascus, and they were after him, and they had to let him down that night by a basket from the wall to keep him from killing him in Damascus, all right? But we have read repeatedly that his opponent's great desire was to kill him. And even one of them, remember back there where it said that he's not fit to live. In chapter 22, verse 22, it says, "For it is not fit that he should live." Boy, you talk about a depth of hatred that they held for Paul. I thought about entitling the message Religious Hatred, but I changed my mind as I've got to think about it. Hatred's hatred. It really doesn't matter what motivates hatred, it's hatred. And wherever it's born and whatever the reason for that hatred, it's still hatred. And whether it be religious hatred, ethnic hatred, racial hatred, family hatred, geographic hatred, or any other kind that you can dream up, all right? Now, specifically, the events that motivated me and got my mind to thinking is the rise that we're seeing in anti-Semitism in our world today, all right? We're seeing a hatred for the Jew come back strongly. I've told you about a book I read on the Jewish people when they tried to annihilate them in Germany and in Europe during World War II. And it do some people well. You don't have to read the whole book. You just read a little bit of it and it'll find out. You'll see all you need to see, all right? But we saw this thing rising just a few weeks ago on college campuses in the United States, where Jewish people, Jewish students could not go to class safely because they were threatened by other students in the college simply because they were of Jewish descent. Then just a few days ago, I don't know if you heard this on the news, in the Netherlands, I believe it was the Netherlands, if I got it right, there was a soccer match between some folks there and the Israeli team. And over there, they had it organized after that soccer match to go after those Jewish fans. And they were literally chasing them through the streets as those Jewish people ran for their lives. Hey, folks, that's in 2024, not 1944. That's this day and age. Hey, there's just something about hatred. Just something about hatred. Now, I just want to talk to you about it a little bit. Number one, it's unreasonable. Absolutely unreasonable. The hatred we're seeing is mindless. It's unreasonable because there's no reason for it. There is no reason whatsoever. Just as in Paul's day, much of the so-called reasons against him were made up. Did you notice that as we were reading, back in chapter 21? If you want to go back there in chapter 21 and just take a look, all right? In verse 28, the fellow stood up in the temple and said, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people. And he teaches against the law. And he teaches against this place, the temple." All of that was lies. All of that was lies. And then they said this, "And further, he brought Greeks also into this temple and hath polluted this holy place." Now the evidence for that was in the next verse. They supposed he had. They supposed he had. Hey, we're going to try him and convict him on supposition. And on lies. They went after it. Hey, you say, what do you say? I'm saying it's unreasonable. It is absolutely unreasonable to do it, all right? Paul was accused of doing all sorts of stuff. All kinds of things. And the accusations that were brought against him. Absolutely, it was just unreasonable. Can I say this to you? Most hatred is unreasonable. It's unreasonable. I'll say things like, "I hate Ohio State, the football team." Now, I don't really hate them, but I never want them to win. You said, "Why?" I don't know. I've been doing it for years and don't want to change now. There's no reason for it. No reason for it. You said, "Why?" "Well, I just don't like them." "Well, why?" "Because I don't." "Well, why don't you?" "Well, I already told you, because I don't." All right? No reason. Now, I'm not asking you to rise up and let's go get rid of everybody that's an Ohio State fan. I know some Ohio State fans. I love them. I pray for them. I feel sorry for them. Brother Eric Dameron, he's a big Ohio State fan. A big Ohio State. He's unhappy a lot of the time. You say, preacher, where'd you get? Well, I'm kidding now, but I'm not kidding when I say the most hatred. It's unreasonable. I mean, it's just craziest stuff in the world. Back during World War II, when they were trying to exterminate the Jews, they were accused of all kinds of stuff. Down through history, the Black Death, that plague, it was blamed on the Jews. It was blamed on the Jews, a lot of it. You go back and check it out, they would blame it on the Jews, and it was an excuse to exterminate the Jews. It was just an excuse to go at them. Why? Well, it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable. It is absolutely unreasonable to hate somebody simply because of their ethnicity. To hate them? That's unreasonable. It is absolutely unreasonable. But it's out there. It is out there. You say, preacher, do you think we're guilty of it? Lord knows, I hope not. But I think somewhere somebody needs to step up and stand up and say, hey, this hatred's unreasonable. What we see going on around the world, it is an unreasonable thing. I do not hate Arabs. Okay, I do not hate Muslims. Do not hate them. We like to strap labels on people nowadays, and if you stand against the homosexual lifestyle and that practice, you're called a homophobe. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate them. Hatred is an unreasonable thing. I'll tell you, I think it goes past unreasonable. It goes to unbelievable. When folks are willing to kill another person simply because of their ethnic background, the color of their skin, their race, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable just to kill them because of what? Well, because of what you are. Man, you know, let's rise up against everybody named Smith. Brother and Miss Smith, y'all are safe if you're listening. All right, I'm kidding. Maybe I should have chosen a different name, all right? Hey, that's unreasonable. Now, to come against Paul here, as we said up here, okay? As we read just a while ago, I think it was in chapter 24, all right, where they came in, or no, chapter 23, and they said, this man's not fit to live. He's not fit to live. Well, good lands, what had he done that he was no longer fit to live? We're going to kill him because we disagree with him. We're just going to kill somebody because we don't agree with that individual. Hey, I believe that there's a lot of people wrong on a lot of issues, but I don't think we ought to kill them because they're wrong. Don't believe we ought to do that. When folks are willing to kill another person because they're different from you in some way, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. During World War II, the Germans were led to start killing all kinds of their own citizens. They not just the Jews, but they would move against people maybe that had some mental issues. They'd just kill them. For instance, somebody maybe that had Down syndrome. Well, let's just kill them. Let's just kill them. How many of you know somebody with Down syndrome? Some of the most loving people in this world are folks that have Down syndrome. Some of the most loving people in this world. The other night we were over at a pizza place over here nearby, and this fellow started talking to me. And I realized, I'm not sure that's what it was, but it was something maybe like that he had. And but such a friendly guy. Just such a friendly person. Well, let's kill him because he's different. What in the world is wrong with us? Man, it's just hatred. Listen, can I say this to you? That kind of hatred is not normal. It has to be taught. It has to be taught. And that's what's going on in our world today. We've got people teaching other people to hate. It's happening in colleges. Teaching people to hate. It's happening around the world where one group of people is teaching their children as they grow up, you need to hate those people. They're not you. Hey, when folks are content to stand by while that's going on, that's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. We ought not to be willing to stand by when other people are mistreated. We ought not to be willing to stand by and do nothing or say nothing when other people are being threatened because of a hatred that is unreasonable. We ought not to be willing to stand by. That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Hey, somebody, somewhere, and there comes a time when it's necessary we stand up. And in the last few years, there hasn't been enough people in our government to stand up, all right? But most importantly, not only is it unreasonable and is unbelievable, but it's unbiblical. Unbiblical. The Bible does say there's some things that we are commanded to hate. We're commanded to hate. Take your Bible, Amos chapter 5. I thought I would find a verse that would be easy for you to find. Amos chapter 5. If you need to get a drink, now be a good time while people are trying to find Amos. Easy, Genesis, Exodus, Amos. He's right there, all right? Right there. All right, Amos chapter 5. Look, if you will, verse 15. Bible says plainly, hate the evil and love the good. Said, you want to find something to hate? Good, hate evil. That's what you need to do. If you've got some hatred in you and it needs an outlet, good. Hate evil. Go looking for that which is evil. Stand against it. Hate it with all that's within you. The Bible commands us to do that. Though that's not all. Let's go back to Psalms. Maybe that'll be easier to find. Psalms chapter, the 119th Psalm, if you will. Psalm 119, okay, Psalm 119, verse 104. Psalm 119, verse 104, there's some other things we're to hate. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You want to hate something, then hate every false way. You ought to do that. That which is false, that which leads you or takes you in the wrong direction, you need to hate that. You need to hate that. You ought to hate that which would try to get you to hate people, because that's the false way, all right? It's not the right way. We're to hate evil. We're to hate every false way. Since we're there in Psalm 119, go to verse 163. The psalmist said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You want to hate something? Hate lying. Hate lying. Have you ever noticed, though, the people that hate people love lying? I told you we were there in the book of Acts, and they hated Paul, so what did they do? Well, they lied about him. They lied about him. Hey, when they brought the Lord Jesus Christ up for trial, what did they do? They hired people to lie about him. Why? They hated Jesus Christ. So let's lie. Look, folks that hate people love lying. They love lying. We ought to hate lying. Now, since you're there in the Old Testament, let's go to 1 John chapter 3. Get in the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3, would you? 1 John chapter 3. There's some other things we ought to know about hatred. 1 John 3, verse 13, the Bible says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. And don't get excited when they hate you. You ought to expect it. Hey, yep, there's some things that the Bible says we are to hate. The Bible tells us not to be surprised if the world hates us. But God's commandment is just the opposite when it comes to people. When it comes to people, we're to love people. Look there in 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death and life because we love the brethren. Love the brethren. Hey, the biblical command is to love the brethren. That's other folks that are saved. Other folks have been born again. We're to love each other. We're to love each other. Well, I don't like so-and-so. It's okay. You don't have to like them. Just love them, all right? Love them. Love them. Love to learn to love them. They're different from you. They have different likes and dislikes. Some of them even root for Ohio State. That's all right. I'll love them anyway, okay? It's okay. It's not that big a deal. We're to love the brethren. The Bible says we're also to love the lost. We're commanded to love the lost. There's folks out here in this old world. They're not very lovely. We're to love the unlovely. They're lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to care about them. We're to go after them. We're to try to win them to Christ. We're to do everything we can to win them to Christ. Why? Because God says we're to love them. Now, hatred is unbiblical. Now, what that means is that you and I have to make sure that we do not let our prejudices and our preconceived ideas cause us to hate somebody else. Cause us to hate somebody else. You say, people, I don't have any prejudice, preacher. Most of us do. Most of us do. Fine, but don't let them cause you to hate somebody. Don't let them cause you to hate somebody. Work on those prejudices, all right? But whatever you do, don't let preconceived ideas and prejudice cause you to hate somebody. We get this preconceived idea about someone or about some group, and it causes people to hate them, all right? Causes people to hate them. I've even heard in the last few days on the radio folks saying, look, if you've got family that didn't vote the right way, whatever they thought the right way was to vote just a few days ago, well, don't have them over for the holidays. In God's dear name, really? I've got a friend that is a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat. Yellow dog Democrat kind of thing. If a guy's got the D after his name, he'll vote for him. But I don't hate that guy. I welcome him into my home. I just say, don't use that word. No, I was kidding. I don't do that. I didn't do that. Hey, the very idea, how foolish to let that kind of thing bring division. How foolish to let that happen. Hey, when it comes to the Jewish people, we better remember what God told Abraham in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. Turn back there with me, would you? Chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. This is still in the Bible. God has not said anywhere since Genesis 12 that this is no longer in effect. In Genesis 12, verse 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That is a very specific command from God. We're commanded in the Psalms to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded to do that. When I was a kid, we lived in Vidalia, Georgia. And to my knowledge, there was one Jew in Vidalia, Georgia. The only one I ever met, the only one I ever knew was there. And my dad was friends with him. And I remember Dad stopping by and talking to him. I can kind of see him in his mind's eye. I think I can remember his name, but I'm not positive about that. But, man, it's been a long, long time ago. That was the only Jew I ever heard anything about. I was just a kid. I hadn't been taught yet to hate people. All right? So I hadn't been taught that yet. And I didn't look upon him as any different than anybody else was. But I look upon him differently now because I found out what God says in Genesis 12. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. And my friend, that's exactly what God did with the descendants of Abraham. He's made of them a great nation. Their nation was destroyed. And for years there was no nation. But God had promised they will be there again. And he put them back in the land in 1948. If you've not read about what happened, as soon as that nation was declared, they were attacked from every side by all those Arab nations over there, and they barely survived. Well, why did they survive? Because God said, I'm going to put them there. Going to put them there, and they'll be there. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. He said, I'll bless thee, in verse 2, and thou shalt make thy name great. And then he says, thou shalt be a blessing. Then I want you to see the end of verse 3. All families of the earth, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You say, not me. Oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you have. How many of you ever been in the dentist chair? Been in a dentist chair? Anybody here ever got a shot of Novocaine? Novocaine? You thank the Jew. You thank the Jew because you see, it was a Jew by the name of, actually two Jews, Wydell and Weil, they came up with Novocaine. So every time you sit in that chair and you can no longer feel what's going on, and you're grateful that you can't feel it, you better thank the Jew because God made him a blessing to you. He made him a blessing to you. You got heart disease? That's because there was a Jew by the name of Ludwig Traub invented digitalis. Been a blessing to people with heart disease. He said, not me. Well, if you have diabetes, it gets bad and you have to use insulin. That's the result of a research by a fellow named Minkowski. He wasn't a Puerto Rican. He was a Jew. He was a Jew. You can be thankful there were some Jews. You just be thankful there's some Jews. Have you ever had diphtheria? Ever had a child get diphtheria? There's a thing called the Schick reaction. Guess what? It was invented by a Jew named Bela Schick. Bela Schick. I'm saying, in thee shall all nations, all families of the earth be blessed. He said, never had any of that. Now, some of you here are young, and you didn't experience this. You never experienced this, but those of us that have been here a little bit longer, we remember going under vaccination campaigns. Because they were trying to eradicate what was called infantile paralysis, better known as polio. Hey, that anti-polio vaccine was invented by a fellow named Jonas Salk. He was a Jew. He was a Jew. Hey, it made all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. Streptomycin. that drug that is so helpful to people to keep them from dying of tuberculosis? Is it because a Jew named Zalman Waxman invented it? Hey, I'm just throwing out there a few things that you better be glad God put some Jews on this earth. And he told Abram, before he was Abraham, he said, "Thou shalt be a blessing." And he said, "And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." You better think long and hard before you decide I'm going to hate somebody. You ought to consider it long and hard. You said, "Well, the people I hate never did anything." Well, why do you hate them? Why do you hate them? Why do you hate them? I think about back in 9/11, when those different groups took over those airplanes and flew them into a building, killing people they had never met. Never met. People that had never done anything against them. Why did that happen? Because somebody taught those somebodies to hate somebody. Taught them to hate. You have to be taught to hate like that. You just have to be taught to hate like that. Now, I'll tell you, there's some people in this world I don't like too much. But I don't hate them. There's nobody I know that I dislike to the point where I don't want them to get saved and go to heaven. I want them to get saved. There's some of them I think if they would get saved, I would like them. All right? But just get them saved. Hey, my friend, look, hatred is unreasonable, it's unbelievable, and it's definitely unbiblical. Let's not be swept into that. Don't allow yourself to be swept into hating someone or some group. Don't do that. Don't let that happen to you. Don't let it happen. When you see it, stand up. Stand up. We've got to stand against that kind of thing. As they said, or as I've heard said, and you probably have too, there was a guy, you know, the individual looked and he said, "When they came for that group, I didn't do anything because I wasn't one of that group. Then they came for the next group, I didn't do anything because I wasn't part of that group. Then they came for another group, I didn't do anything, I wasn't a part of that group. But then they came for me. Then they came for me. I wish I'd have stood up earlier." Hey, it's our job, okay? It's our job. We're God's people. We've been born again. It's our job to stand up for what's right. It is our job to hold that banner high. It is our duty to oppose that kind of stuff. It's our duty to do it. There's a better way, all right? There's a better way. We're to give an example of that better way. I told you it's going to be a different message tonight. I'll be honest with you, I have no idea how to give the invitation. But we're going to give one. Would you stand and bow your heads, please, tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed while we stand together. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd just help us, Lord. Lord, would you just help us to see the truth about hatred? Lord, it doesn't matter what motivates that hatred. We're not to be people that hate. There's no justification because the hatred is just an unreasonable thing. It causes us people to do unbelievable things. And Lord, for sure, there's nothing biblical about it. Lord, just speak to us tonight. If nothing else, just shake us up and remind ourselves, Lord, we're to stand for what's right. We're to oppose that kind of hatred. Give us the courage to do it when we encounter it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing tonight, page 401, "Only Trust Him." If you need to come, the altar's open. You can come, but hey, you know, whatever. Maybe somebody you know needs prayer. You can pray for them. Let's sing it together, would you?